for the Sound and Media. The topic is, what do you do while you wait for the manifestation? That's part two. The scripture, or the scriptures are 1 John 5, 14 to 15, New King James. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. Proverbs 23:18, King James, say, for surely there is an end, and the expectation shall not be cut short. So there are four things, and we talked about the first two. The first two was continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. And the second one was patience. We're going to, by the grace of God, we're going to deal with the many two today. Praise the Lord. I'll give you an example that came to my mind when I was going through this teaching. We used to live in Hillsboro about 12 years ago. Our neighbor, I've told this story before, maybe not here, but maybe in Life Center. Our neighbor used to snore a lot. And we'll be hearing him from our bedroom. His snoring was intense. It was intense. Say leopard snore. His snoring was intense. Sometimes I won't sleep. Sometimes we won't sleep. It was so intense, like it's apart from the snoring, you know, he would play loud music 2 o'clock in the morning. Now apart from that, it was like mountain upon mountain. Apart from that, we'll come back from church 2-3 o'clock, like what Brother Casimir experienced. His friends and his family would park in our spot. You know, it took my wife, man, because I was like, man, are you kidding me? I'm about to fight this guy, but I said, we just came back from church, so I gotta respect myself. You know. So the guy kept, it was so continuous. So my wife and I, we started to pray. We said, God, we just moved in. That's the funny thing. We just moved in. We started to pray. I said, God, we gotta move. You gotta be kidding me. We gotta move. So we started to pray that we have to move. We have to, you know, move out of this place because we can't sleep. We can't function at work. So it was, we come back, there's problems. The guy's playing loud music. And the funny thing about this thing is, when you start to pray, the devil powers the thing up more. The man bought a piano and started to play piano now. it was like, you gotta be kidding me. Doesn't mean you gotta not intensify your prayer, don't get me wrong. You keep praying a prayer, you know. Then we my wife and I got released that, you know what, this is done. God heard our prayer. So I told this story to my brother Shibuzo. And what happened was, I normally take a route, same route from Hillsboro to my job. It takes me like maybe 10 minutes. But this time around, God says I should make a right. So I made a right. Then God said to me, look through all these houses and point to the one that you want. Point to the one you want. Remember I told you? Point to the one you want. You know, first time, you know, you don't want to make a wrong choice. So I looked through. The second day, going to work, I came through. Third day, going to work, I came through. Then the fourth day, and I said, oh, this is the house. And I pointed the house. I pointed to the house. So now God asked me a question. So now he pointed to the house now. So how many bedrooms do you want? See, that's why Pastor was saying, you need to be specific. You can't say you're looking for a job. What job? You need to be specific. So God now asked me, say, what kind of house, what kind of, how many bedrooms do you want? I had no answer. So I had to come back, talk to my wife. We discussed how many bedrooms. how many bathrooms, just in case God was going to ask me how many bathrooms. So I had to get that whole clarity together. Then I went back to God, and I pointed to the house. I said, we have four bedrooms, two baths. This is how much playground we want for the children. And that was it. And I what? Started giving God glory for it. I started giving God praise for it. And within a few months, we moved. I'm telling you. Because we had that picture. And I told my wife, we had the picture. If you remember what I was talking about, we have the picture. You have the picture. And that's why that Proverbs 23:18 says, for surely there's an end for that expectation. That expectation. I expected. That's what I was pointing. The expectation shall not be cut short. Praise the Lord. And that's what the Bible says. The third thing he says, what's your expectation? And like I said, the first one is continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. Patience. The third one is expectation. What is your expectation? Look at Abraham. Abraham was what? He was, God showed him the picture, and he had the expectation, and he gave glory to God all the time. Think about it. I asked a question. The question I asked over here was, would you still believe after 6 months? After two weeks? Would your expectation still be the same? Would your expectation after prayer, would it be the same? Would you still believe that God has answered? Or would you give up? The picture God painted to me about this expectation, you see a woman that is pregnant. She's expecting. That's what they call it, correct? Correct? She says she's expecting. So she goes for an ultrasound. So what happens when you do an ultrasound, they show you a picture of the baby. You don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. But that, with that expectation, that baby, that picture, the woman knows that she's having a baby. So the question is, it says, I put here, it says, in context, it says, we need to be pregnant with what God has said about your situation. You need to have that picture. And you know that in a matter of time, the baby will come out. The question is, what do you have? What picture do you have? What are you expecting? Are you pregnant with it? And if you know that you're pregnant with it, there are some actions that proceed. One of the actions that proceed is thanksgiving, as Pastor said. Pastor has been saying, and that's what the Bible says. It's true. It's completely true. Because God explained to me this aspect of thanksgiving. He explained to me, he says, can you imagine somebody calls you up and saying, I'm going to send you money through Western Union? And it happened. Somebody called me up and said, I'm going to send you money through Western Union. And I knew the person. The person hadn't sent the money. But what happened? In your mind, first of all, you say thank you for sending it. And two, in your mind, you spend the money. You spend the money, seriously, you spent it. Because you already know who's sending it. You know how faithful that person is. So that money is come and it's gone. Can you imagine? We have a God. We just sang, he's not a disappointment. We have a God that is so trustworthy. His word is very reliable. So when you take his word, he says, by his stripes you've been made whole. You're healed. It's something that you need to take it, say, yes, I have it, and give glory for it. You don't see it. Say, for me to call my friend calls me, why did I say thank you? I haven't seen it. Why am I spending it if I haven't seen it? It's the same way. It's the same way the word of God is so powerful. He says, with Isaiah, when I read Isaiah 55, he says, it will surely come to pass. But you know what the problem is? Is that sometimes we don't believe it. We want to see to believe. And when you want to see to believe, then there's a problem right there. Praise the Lord. You know, I tend to think about Abraham. That old and giving glory to God for 25 years. It takes a man that really first he believes God and he had that picture and he knew that he says the God that calls those things that are not as if they were, he knows who his God is. Let's look at some of the scripture right here. It says Romans 4, 18 to 20. We're talking about Abraham. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. Okay, let's read from here. Can you give me New Living, please? Sorry. It says, when Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years old. Think about it. God told him what? At 75, you're going to have a child. Now at 100 years old, he says, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. 19. It says, and Abraham's faith... That one, 20. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Think about it. For 25 years, he kept on giving glory to God because he knew that this God is faithful. You see, the key here is, in this aspect, is in that verse 20, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. The question is, by the time you get to 10 years, would you waver? Because you're saying to yourself, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it yet. It's not coming to pass. I put here, it says, Abraham gave glory to God for Isaac even when it seemed impossible. Abraham did the impossible and gave glory to God no matter how he felt, no matter the period of time, he stayed with it because God is faithful. It's easy to say God is faithful, but in the heat of the time, would you really say God is faithful? It's easy to jump up and down and say, he's not a disappointment. Yes, wonderful, great. But are you going to believe when there's trouble? Are you going to remember that this God is not faithful? Or is he faithful? Which one is it? Praise the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. In New Living. Thank you. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The question is when you're expecting, when you have an expectation, what are you saying? What are you saying? We talked about it in Sunday school. What are you saying? You know, sometimes we use our hand to cancel our prayer. Because we just finish praying. And somebody will come and ask you, like, so for instance, maybe you finish praying. You finish praying for, I don't know, a car. And somebody will ask you, this car, he hasn't come yet. You haven't, I don't know, you know, I don't think I will get this car. We use our mouth and cancel our prayer. Bless you. Or even let's give a practical example. We just said we are healed. God, I thank you, I healed. But the devil comes with a different symptom. Do you still claim your healing? Or do you use your mouth rough and say, I thought I was healed? And that's where the key is. Are you consistent? Is what you're praying about and what you're saying, are they aligned? That's why we need to be careful what we say. We can't just say anything. This aspect says, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. It means that if you just talk anyhow, the consequences that come. And you know the funny thing is that I've come to realize that when the consequences come, it tends to be hard for us to align that this is what we said, this is what we're reaping. Let's look at James 3, 1 to 10, please. Message, if you have it. You have your message? It says, don't be in a rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is, I read 1 to 10, please. Teaching is a highly responsible work. Teachers are held in strictest standard, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you would have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless and wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Say smoke right from the pit of hell. Say this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. It says, the tongue runs wild like a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless our Father. We bless God our Father. With our tongues, we curse the very man and woman he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. Can you imagine that? Oh, let's read. Oh, sorry. My friends, this can't go on. Praise the Lord. You think about it. You know, when the Bible says a small rudder on a huge ship can turn the course. Can you imagine that? And you know the thing I really, really hit home was this. It says, with our tongues, we bless God, our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he had made in his image. Can you imagine that? We run our mouth. And you know the funny thing I've heard people will say, it's my mouth now. But it's your mouth that you use to cancel your own prayer. You prayed all night. And you come out and it's your mouth that you use to cancel your own prayer. Can you imagine that? It's something that we need to have an understanding that if you believe that God has given you something, you need to say it. You need to say it. Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it. If you believe it in your heart, say it. You know, there's some people that have used their mouth carelessly. You can read, when you get home, you can read it. 2 Kings 7:1-2. Talk about Elisha. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. Let's see for ourselves. You might not read it when we get home, so let's read it. 2 Kings 7:1-2. It says, Elisha replied, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, it says, 6 quarts of barley's grain cost only one piece of silver. Say the officer assisting the king said to the man of God, that couldn't happen, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven. Can you imagine that? You'll be wondering, don't you? Maybe this, no, we can't do that. No, we say it sometimes. And I will tell you why we say it. But Elisha replied, you will see it happen with your own eyes, but you wouldn't be able to eat anything of it. Sometimes our mouth, we run wild with it. There was one time that Pastor Manuel was up here. I don't think he'll remember, but he was up here. And he said that, you know, when he exercises, but he uses scripture while he's going through his exercise. And I was right there where Brother Dave was. And I couldn't understand it using scripture. I said, no, Abba. You have to exercise now. Why are you bringing scripture inside this thing? I couldn't fathom it. I couldn't understand it. But you know what happened? What happened was amazing. I started walking out thinking it was my strength. I didn't understand what he was talking about. I started walking out. Then before I knew it, I plateaued. If you know what I mean by plateau. Plateau is like, I wasn't going up, I wasn't going down. I was. And I went back to God. I said, God, how come all this exercise I'm doing, Monday through Saturday sometimes, 1 hour a day, and I'm plateauing. He said, you remember what you said? That what would this word of God do regarding exercise? Is it you? He asked me a question. Is it you that is exercising? Isn't it me that it gives you strength to even do the exercise? You see how you just basically put me aside and you think it is you? You know, sometimes that's what we do. We put God aside, thinking, and I then cued into what he was saying. I know he was laughing about it, but that's why when Pastor Manuel talks and he's laughing about it, be careful. There's some seriousness in it. There's some seriousness in it. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So the question, let's look at another one. Psalm 107 verse 2. Like I was saying before. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. Removed, redeemed. Say blessed, healed. Has he blessed you? Say it. Has he healed you? Say it. Sometimes we don't want to say it because what? Maybe we feel that it's going to be an embarrassment. There's one time I was coughing. I was like a bit under the weather, and I was coughing. And brother and sister Agbo saw me. I said, "Oh, you have a cough?" I said, "No, I have a cough, but I'm blessed. I'm healed." Oh, she said, "No, that's great. That's right. That's right. That's exactly what you're supposed to be." Say it. If you believe you've healed, say it. Praise the Lord. And the fourth one is peace. The fourth one is peace. So the first one we talked about is continue to fix your eyes on Jesus. Second one is patience. Third one is expectation. The fourth one is peace. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, New Living Translation. Said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says. His peace, in Amplified, it says, his peace will garrison your heart. Let's look at an example where this peace was. You see how Peter exemplified this peace. Acts 12, 1 to 18. It's very long, but we'll read it. Acts 12, 1 to 18. No, we'll go with New Living, please. It says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. Then Herod saw how much displeased the Jewish people. He also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. Think about it. Four squads of four soldiers. That's what? 16, correct? Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. 5. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. 6. That night, before Peter was placed on trial, he was asleep, fasting with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Do me a favor. That verse 6, put in Message. Then we'll switch back to New Living. Sorry, just bear with me. The verse 6, just put in Message, just verse 6. It says, this is the amazing thing, the Message. It says, then the time came for Herod to bring him out for the kill. Say that night, even though, what happened? I'll read it from here, but I want people to see it. Even though shackled to two soldiers, one on either side, Peter slept. Please, let's all read the thing together. Maybe it's me. I don't want it to be me that is reading it. Let's read that one together. I don't want you to read any other thing. Peter slept like a baby. Come. Brother Chris, come. So you understand that it seems impossible, but think about it. The man, two people holding together, and the man is sleeping. Thank you. Think about it. The guy was peaceful. And it's amazing because how can he be shackled to two soldiers and he fell asleep? Think about it for a minute before we read further. Won't he be saying or be praying all night? And be killing his enemies. Fire, burn them. Or we'll be griping by this time. Say, God, I was doing your work. How can you allow this thing to happen to me, an apostle, a faithful servant? He didn't do any of those things. All he did was, amazing. Went to sleep. Because he knew in whom he believed. He didn't bother himself. And you know, he says, that verse 1 says, he knew he was going to get killed. Because that's what it says. It says, then the time came for Herod to bring him out for the kill. He knew he was going to get killed the next day. But he went to sleep, not worrying about a thing. And that's what God expects us to do. Don't worry about anything because he got it. He got you. Praise the Lord. Let's finish verse 7. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. And the angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, quick, get up. Can you imagine that? It means the guy was really fast asleep. That's what he says. He struck him on the side. Hold on, let's finish reading. He said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. Go ahead, 8. Suddenly, 8 now. Then the angel told him, get dressed. Put on your sandals. We're going on a walk. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. So Peter left the cell, following the angel. But all, look at this, you know. But all the time, he thought it was a vision. The guy was in so much peace. He was in an incredible peace. He knew who his God was. You know, it's easy to raise up your hand. He's not a disappointment. But when calamity happens, can you sleep? Or will you be tossing and turning? Let's finish. So, you see, he didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard post and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. It says, Peter finally came to his senses.
He woke up.
You kidding me? All that, he just... He says, it's really true. He said, the Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do with me, to kill him. That was it. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door in the gate, and a servant girl named Rhonda came to open it. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. Instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter is standing at the door. Go ahead now. 15. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. He said, you are out of your... But let me tell you something. It's amazing. Think about it. They were praying endlessly. Peter, come out. Peter, come out. But they didn't have faith. They didn't believe.
Nothing.
Let's read that. You see now. No expectation. Kilkum, nothing. Let's read now. It says, you are out of your mind, they said. When she insisted, they decided, no, now. He's an angel. He's his angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. Let's read this together. So if for them to be amazed, it means that they didn't even think it will ever happen. And meanwhile, they were praying. Huh? That's it. I'm done. So the question I ask is, can you imagine? They were amazed. A man that was just falling, he just fell asleep. In spite of the fact that he was going to get killed the next day. And he was shackled. I don't know. That right there, it can traumatize anybody. But he went to sleep. What is the problem that you're facing that is keeping you awake? That you can't sleep? That you need sleeping medicine? The question is, do you believe your God? If you believe, say the Bible says, he giveth his beloved sleep. Sleep. It's not at night that you'll be praying and be waking up your wife that knows better she's sleeping. She knows better she's sleeping. You are still awake. God, save us in this thing. Save us in this. Your wife has slept. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I was teaching this in business ministry one time. I said, it's God's plans. It's not your plans. So if it's God's plans and it's not your plans, isn't it best for you to just relax? Because it's Him that will make it happen. It's really His plans. And one thing I want to bring up here is this. Please don't say, when things are not working out the way you think it's supposed to be, and you say, God said no. Sorry. That's a lie from a pit of hell. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:20, New International Version, NIV. It says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." They are not no in Christ, they are yes. "And so through Him, amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." He hasn't said no to your problem. He's always saying yes. Think about it. He's your Father. He's your loving Father. He gives lavishly. Like Pastor Emmanuel said over here during Holy Communion, he says, his son will come to the fridge and say, "Mommy, the stew has finished." Because they know they are right. They know that he can do it. Because he's their father and mother. We have a wonderful Father. He loves us so much. Why would he say no to you? I remember David. When I say no to him, he starts to cry. Because I know. He cries. But as soon as I give it to him, why do I want to see him crying? Think about it. You know, sometimes we put God in this kind of unearthly box that doesn't make any sense. We put him in a box that is like, he's such a bad father. You that is a father, you see your child, you want him to be crying? When you don't give it to him, you know he will cry. So what do? You give it to him so he doesn't cry. So you can do that. Then you now put God as a God that you always say no. That's a lie. So if you ever made that thought mindset in your mind, please erase it. Awesome. Erase it. Because God says yes, always. Hallelujah. I'll leave you with this scripture. Isaiah 53:1. It says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Who will believe the word of God? Who will believe that God loves you so much? who will believe that he wants your best interest? He has your best interest at heart. Who will believe that he loves you so much that even though the solution hasn't come yet, but wait, it will surely come. Who will believe that? Praise the Lord. I'm going to make an altar call. You know, what Pastor Emmanuel said here is pretty amazing. Because he says, it's a family. It's a family thing. It's a family affair. For you to experience the benefits, for you to have an understanding of all this that was just said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you need to be born again. You need to have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not something that you'll be shy about. It's something that you know that you want a loving Father that is always going to be by you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to come and receive him. Come and say, you know what? I want Jesus. It's an opportunity. Ask your neighbor, have you received Jesus?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.